Good morning and welcome to worship on this Easter Sunday. I've got some fantastic news for you. Jesus is risen from the dead. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. So wherever you're joining us today, happy Easter to you and peace be with you. When I say the words, risen Lord Jesus, would you respond, my Lord and my God? Glory to you for rising from the dead. Risen Lord Jesus, my Lord and my God. Glory to you for your victorious triumph. Risen Lord Jesus, my Lord and my God. Glory to you that death has lost its sting. Risen Lord Jesus, my Lord and my God. Glory to you that eternal life is won for all who believe. Risen Lord Jesus, my Lord and my God. Glory to you that doubt can give way to faith. Risen Lord Jesus, my Lord and my God. Glory to you that fear can give way to praise. Risen Lord Jesus, my Lord and my God.
Hallelujah.
The cross of Jesus, which we were remembering just a couple of days ago on Good Friday, is all about forgiveness. God making it possible for us to have our sins forgiven, to be reconciled to him. But that's not just a once-in-a-lifetime experience. When we're born again, our sins are cast into the bottom of the ocean, and God never, ever brings them up again. But we know, don't we, that in our daily lives, there are ways in which we grieve God, we grieve and hurt the people around us, and we're not the people that God created us to be. And so it's right that we take a moment in our gatherings together for worship, to reflect for a moment on our lives, to recognise those places where we know we've grieved the heart of God, and to say sorry to him that we might be reconciled again, that that grace and mercy that flows to us from the cross and the empty tomb might fill us afresh. So let's just be quiet for a moment in the presence of God, and then we're going to seek his grace in our confession. When I say the words, because Jesus has risen, would you respond, forgive us, Lord, we pray. Because Jesus has risen to life, sin has lost its power to keep us away from God. So let us tell God we're sorry for our sins, in certainty that he will forgive us and welcome us as his friends. Because Jesus has risen, forgive us, Lord, we pray. Let us confess the wrong things we have done. Because Jesus has risen, forgive us, Lord, we pray. Let us confess the wrong things we have said. Because Jesus has risen, forgive us, Lord, we pray. Let us confess the wrong things we have thought. Because Jesus has risen, forgive us, Lord, we pray. And let us confess the good things we have failed to do, say, and think. Because Jesus has risen, forgive us, Lord, we pray. Amen. Paul writes in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So receive the assurance of your sins forgiven. May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by his Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. What a fantastic thing to know that we are forgiven and reconciled to God for eternity. I'm going to turn to our Bible reading now, and we're going to read Mark's account of the resurrection of Jesus, Mark chapter 16, and we're going to read from verses 1 to 8, Mark 16, and beginning to read at the first verse. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, They were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And they entered the tomb, and they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, Hal and Ezra, my grandsons, love to play hide and seek. But I'm not quite sure they've really understood the point of the game. This is how it goes. I close my eyes, count to 10 as slowly as I possibly can, while they run off to hide. But I've hardly started searching for them before they jump out shouting, "Surprise, Grandad! I'm here!" It makes for a very short game, but we do repeat it over and over and over again. But clearly they just can't contain their excitement at the prospect of giving their old Grandad a surprise. Well, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome had not so much a surprise as a massive shock on that first Easter Sunday. Mark tells us that the Spice Girls, as I like to call them, went to the tomb early that morning and received a series of shocks. Shock number one, they saw the two-ton stone which had been blocking the entrance, protecting the tomb from wild animals or grave robbers. That big two-ton stone had been rolled away. Verse 4. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Shock number 2. As they entered the tomb, they saw an angel. Mark describes him as a young man dressed in a white robe. The other Gospels make it clear that this man was an angel. And they were alarmed. Verse 5. And shock number 3, they were told by the angel the stunning news that Jesus the Nazarene, whose dead body they had come to anoint with spices, had in fact risen and was very much alive. And they fled from the tomb, dumbstruck and afraid. Verse 8, trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Just a few years ago, a large research project was undertaken on behalf of several Christian organizations. The project was called Talking Jesus, and it was aimed at discovering what British people believe about Jesus today. The results were quite surprising. One of the statistics shows that 46% of people in the UK believe Jesus rose from the dead. 46%, almost half of the population of the UK. That's amazing. So I'm not going to spend my time this morning trying to prove that the resurrection of Jesus is a historical fact, an event that took place in real time and real space. I'm going to take that as read this morning. At least half the population agree with me. But maybe more important than that is, what are the implications of the resurrection for our daily lives? It's the so what question. Okay, Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, it was a historical event. But so what? What difference does that make to my life and to yours? So here are 3 implications from the Bible of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The first is that because Jesus rose from the dead, Jesus is who he said he is. He is the Son of God. You see, this is why believing in the resurrection as a historical fact isn't enough. Because another statistic from that same research, Talking Jesus, said that 21% of the population believe that Jesus is the Son of God. 46% believe he rose from the dead, but only 21% believe that he is the Son of God. There is a mismatch there, because the resurrection of Jesus from the dead proves that he is who he said he is. He is indeed the Son of God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Jesus Christ, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Paul is saying that the resurrection of Jesus was a powerful declaration made by the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is the Son of God. But why? Why is the resurrection proof that Jesus is the Son of God? How does that work? Well, sometimes the New Testament talks of the resurrection as God the Father raising Jesus from the dead. And sometimes the New Testament talks about Jesus raising himself from the dead. Both, in fact, are true, and both prove the divinity of Jesus. Both prove that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, God the Father would not raise Jesus from the dead if he was not who he claimed to be. If Jesus was a liar, if he knew he wasn't the Son of God but was just trying to con people, God would not raise him from the dead. If Jesus was a lunatic, he thought he was the Son of God but in fact he wasn't, God would not raise him from the dead. Only if Jesus really is Lord, the Son of God, would God the Father raise him. Was he bad, mad, or God? The resurrection says he is God. And if we take the view that Jesus raised himself from the dead, then Jesus couldn't do that if he were not God. For only God has that kind of power. So first implication, Jesus is who he said he is. Second implication of the resurrection, Jesus did what he said he came to do, to die for our sins. Paul again, in Romans 4:25, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Justification. It's a fancy theological word that basically means acquitted, declared not guilty in the judgment room of heaven. So the resurrection, says Paul, secured our acquittal. God declares we are not guilty, and it's the resurrection that guarantees that verdict. How does that work? Well, because without the resurrection, we would never have known if Jesus' death actually worked for us. If Jesus had stayed dead, if the Spice Girls had found his body neatly wrapped in strips of cloth that Easter morning, we would have assumed that he wasn't sinless after all, but was dying for his own sin. Only by rising again could Jesus guarantee our justification, our acquittal, God's declaration, not guilty, our forgiveness, proving that he wasn't dying for his own sins, for he was sinless, but just as he said, he was dying as a ransom for our sins. The third implication is that Jesus has defeated death for us, so we too will rise with him. First implication, Jesus is who he said he is, the Son of God. Second implication, he did what he said he came to do, die for our sins. Third implication, he has defeated death for us, so we too will rise with him. Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, says Paul, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Fallen asleep is a biblical way of talking about dying. First fruits mean he was the first, many more will follow. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive. In other words, those who in the natural human nature belong to Adam, they will die eternally. But those who by faith are in Christ will be made alive. And Paul finishes by saying, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, he was the first to rise from the dead, immortal. And then when he comes, those who belong to him. So Jesus defeated death because death came into the world as a consequence of human sin. And because Jesus was sinless, death could not hold him. It had no right to do so. So he burst forth from the tomb on that Easter Sunday. And therefore, death has lost its sting for all who believe in Jesus, though death will come to us all, with the exception of that generation who are alive when Jesus returns. Death will come to us all, but it need hold no fear for those who love and belong to Jesus. For what awaits us is a glorious resurrection, finally free from sickness and sin and Satan, and able to enjoy the fullness of God's glory in his eternal kingdom. For not only will he raise and transform us, but he will do the same for the whole creation. Paul writes in Romans 8:21, the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and be brought into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The resurrection of Jesus has both personal and cosmic implications. All the implications of the resurrection are literally out of this world. You may be watching this morning and you're not a Christian yet. What better day than Easter Sunday to give your life to Jesus, the risen one. It may be that you're watching this morning and you are a Christian, but for whatever reason you've drifted away from the Lord. What better day to come home than Easter Sunday? And maybe you're watching this morning and you're following closely to the Lord Jesus, but you feel perhaps Easter Sunday is a day to rededicate, recommit my life to him. Well, if that's you, I'm going to lead us in a prayer now, and I'm going to leave pauses in this prayer and invite you to say the prayer yourself in silence of your own heart or aloud if you want to do that. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you love me. I admit that I've fallen short of your glory. I now turn to you in repentance and faith. Thank you that Jesus died in my place, taking my sin away. And thank you that he rose again to prove it. Forgive me, I pray. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, with the resurrection power of Jesus, and help me to live the rest of my life for him until you finally call me home and I see you face to face. And I live with you in the joy of heaven forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning, instead of saying amen, we're going to say what that really means. We're going to say yes. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ Jesus. Every promise God has made is ours, guaranteed through faith in Jesus Christ. So we're going to say yes at the end of our Lord's Prayer. So let's lift these prayers to the Lord as we pray together, as we stand at the empty tomb, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Yes. Yes. So now may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. And the joy of the Lord Jesus fill your lives. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you and those you love and pray for this Easter Sunday. And through the coming year, and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Amen. Friends, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.